Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Erevin Daf Chaf Beis. We begin on the very bottom lines of Chaf Aleph Omud Beis. We are going to repeat the last little piece of drasha from Shir HaShirim and start the beginning of the pasuk. We left off in the middle of the pasuk, although we finished the discussion on the first part of the pasuk. So just repeat it real quickly. We begin two lines from the bottom, Chaf Aleph Omud Beis. Kfutso Sov Tal Talim. We said, and this pasuk from Shir HaShirim, that his hair is curly. So Amar Rav Chista, Amar Rav Ukva, he explains it. Milami sheish lidrosh al kol kotz for kotz tilei tilim shel alohos. We discussed this in some detail yesterday, so I won't go into it again. But he says that from all of the tagim, from all of the little curlicues, the little additions that we have on top of the osios, you can learn many, many, many halachos. We talked about Rabbi Akiva darshaning these. That's what we said yesterday. That's what we left off. We pick up today the end of the pasuk. Shechoros ka'orev, and the hair is black like a raven. And where do you find that somebody is able to go and darshan these tilei tilim, these piles and piles, mounds and mounds of halachos from the little tagim that are on the top of the letters? For a person that goes, we turn to the Amud Aleph, person who goes and stays up late at night in the Beis Medrash and gets there early in the morning. So that type of a person is going to figure out the ability to darshan all these unbelievable halachos, even from the Tagin. Rav Amar, b'misha mashkir panav aleim korei, the person has to blacken his face like the dark color of the raven's body, so that person who doesn't enjoy the pleasures of this world, he's closeted away in a Beis Medrash and doesn't get sunlight and his face is dark, so such a person, he is going to be able to achieve such great Torah accomplishments. Rav Amar, whenever you have Rabba, Omar, Rav, Omar, they're not disagreeing with each other. If you say Omar, Rabba, Omar, Rav, they're usually disagreeing. Here is just another statement that was made to darshan the pasuk. So we had the statement of Omar, Rav, Chista, Omar, Rav, Okfa. We had the statement of Rabba, and now we have the statement of Rav. So Rav said, Rav, Omar, b'mishin meisim asim achazori al bonav yal b'nei beso ki oriv. Person who is, because of his desire to sit and learn Torah, doesn't spend so much time with his family and doesn't take care of the financial needs or the other needs of the family. Now, we're not saying this is for everybody, but Rav is saying the person will be able to become a Rabbi Akiva. So you have to leave his family for 24 years. So in this situation, you can become a Rabbi Akiva. It's not necessarily saying this is the way for everybody to do this. He heard the Rav Adar Bar Masta, like we find the story from Rav Adar Bar Masta. Hadakazal Bei Rav, he went to the Beis Medrash to learn. And he had a family, but he had no food in the house. Armelei Divisu, his wife said to him, Yenuke Didach, your children, the suckling children, my avid lu, your little children, what are we going to feed them? There's no food in the house. So Amalah, he told her, Mishlimu Kurme Biagma, have all the, Rashi explains, Kurmi are yurokos, these are vegetables, or alternatively, there's some sort of a reed, and you can go and crush these, Rashi says, and make them into bread. So in other words, there's free food out in the wild. Go out to the forest, go out to the swamp, go out to this agma, and you'll find these wild vegetables growing over there, so go bring them in for food for the children. And he went off to the Beis Medrash. Gemara says, Meshalim l'sonov el panov l'avido. Gemara darshans this pasuk in the following way. Amar Shubin Levi, ilmale mikra kosuv e'ef shalom. If it wasn't for the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said it himself, we wouldn't be able to say over such a thing. Now, what does this pasuk imply? It says, "Mishalim l'sonov el panov lahavido." So, HaKadosh Baruch Hu repays everybody. So, this Gemara is darshan kiviyachol ka'odam shenosi masu yaponov. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to say, is acting like he's a person who has this big burden that he's carrying on his face. He can't wait to get it off him. So too, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does give schar even to the biggest rishayim. They earned it, so they get it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is 1,000% fair. So even a Rasha that does something good, he gets reward. But this reward is considered like a burden to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he can't wait to just throw it off his face and get rid of it. Pasuk continues and says, Lo ya'achel l'sano. Because Baruch Hu will not delay, he won't ya'acher, like we have Baal Ta'acher, a person that will delay bringing his korbanos. So Kosh Baruch Hu won't delay repaying this Rasha. Amar Eloi, the son of Hudu Loyacher, to the Rishayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu pays them back. In other words, he pays them back right now in this world. Avo ya'achel et tzadikim giburim, but for the righteous individuals, the most biggest tzadikim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does delay giving them reward, so he can save their reward for Olam Haba. And this is also in accord with what Rishu ben Levi said. Behind Dom Rishu ben Levi, my Dixi, what does the Pasuk mean? Asher anochi mitzavcho hayom la'asosom. The Pasuk says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I give you these mitzvos to do to do them. Today, I give them you to do them. Lasso som. Hayom lasso som. In other words, today, you do them while you're alive in this world. However, the reward will come in the world to come. V'lo l'moch lasso. So then you won't have a chance once you leave this world to do them. The meisus chavshi min ha-mitzos. The person who's dead, Nebuch, can't do any more mitzos. So now, hayom, when you're in this world, there's a time to do the mitzos. Lasso som. But hayom lasso som. Now is the time to do the mitzos, but l'moch l'kabel scharam. But you'll get the schar for them, like we just said, in the future world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu delays repaying the tzaddikim because it's actually better for them to have all the schar in the world to come. Amar Rav Chagai, or Vitema Rav Shmuel ben Nachmani, either Rav Chagai or Rav Shmuel ben Nachmani said the following drasha. My disciple, what does the pasuk mean when it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is described as Erech HaPayim, right? We're coming up to the Yom HaRoim, we're going to say the Yud Gimel Midos many times. So what does it mean when we say Erech HaPayim? Rashi points out, HaPayim is Mashma Ponim, double. This is Bein Sochakos, Bein Zomos. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu has faces that sometimes are happy with us and sometimes are angry with us. That's this Loshon of Apayim rather than Af. The Gemara says, Erech Af Miboyle, should have said in the singular. Why does it say in the plural? Ella, this idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sometimes is very happy with us and sometimes is not happy with us, this is an idea, Erech Apayim LaTzadikim, Erech Apayim Rishoyim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is happy, has a face for happiness, and that's for the tzaddikim. And that is talking about that he delays giving them, he's slow to anger, so he delays giving them their reward. And he's also doing a tova for the Rishayim, who he's angry with. Erech HaPayim L'Rishayim, even though the Rishayim, he doesn't go and punish them. He gives them the reward in this world, but he doesn't punish them in this world. That he waits for the world to come. And that's actually a good thing for them, that he is giving them a chance to do tshuva. So therefore, by this Erech HaPayim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very, very slow to anger, it means that for the tzaddikim, he is very slow to give them the reward, and he's very happy with them, and he's given them the punishment in this world, but he's slow to give them the reward. And for the Rishayim, it's the exact opposite. He's quick to give them the reward, but he's slow to punish them, and that's actually a good thing. And that's why, maybe they'll do tshuva, that's why this Lashon of plural, Erech HaPayim, he's very slow to anger. Gemara says, now back to our Mishnah. We're done with the Agadita explanation. Back to our Mishnah. We said, Riud Omer, I base a sayim, that if you have the Pase Biros, so you're only allowed to surround it up to a base of sayim. Now we're going to have a very technical question. This base of sayim, again, this area that is 5,000 square amos, the 100 times 50 area of the Mishkan, so that's the base of sayim. This area, was it exactly a base sayim, including the Pasi Biros? Or no, it was the maximum size that the well could be, and then you could add on one amma on each side for the Pasi Biros, and the space for a person to walk in between the well and the Pasi Biros. So Yibaylu, they ask the following shayla. Bar upasin komar, when Yehudu said that the maximum size is base sayim, did that include a little bit less than the base of Siam for the well, and then you complete it to the base of Siam when you include the Pasi Biros, or Dilmo, maybe not, or Dilmo, bar, velo Pasi Komar. No, the bar itself is allowed to be up to a base Sosayim, and then you can add on a little additional space to walk around the bar, and as well for the one Amma, the six Tvachim, of the actual board on that side, the right angle boards that we talked about for the Pasi Biros. So that's the question that we're asked. Where explains, Adam knows in Ainav Bibor, when a person looks at his bar, he looks at the bar, and he doesn't really look at the additional space around it. And therefore, Velo Gazrin and Duma Osi Latatuli Yosu Vesasayim Bekarpath. And therefore, a person is going to say, oh, the key part over here, the Pasi Biros, is the bar. And the bar, yeah, I know, review the limits it to a base asayim. And therefore, the person won't make a mistake and think that you can have more than a base asayim when you're dealing with a enclosed karpath, which also has the share of the base asayim. So therefore, even though here it's a base asayim plus a little bit, we're not concerned that that could lead a person to think that otherwise, where it's the din of a base asayim, you can also have a little bit more than a base asayim. Because here, you're not looking at the surrounding additional space, you're just looking at the well, the water hole, as your critical feature. And therefore, there's no concern that you'll come to make a mistake elsewhere. Odomar says, no, the other side of the coin, Odomar, Odomnosinena b'mechitzaso. Person looks at the entire area, and he says, this entire area, including the mechitzos, is a base of sayim. And therefore, if you'd allowed more than that, then he could make the mistake, and he could enclose a karpath that's a little bit more than a base of sayim, and say, well, just like I could do it by the Pasi Biros, I could do it over here. So therefore, you're not allowed to do the Pasi Biros more than a base of sayim, including the mechitzos. So that's the question, as I just pointed out. Do we according to Rav Yehuda, say that the Beis HaSayim is the exact Beis HaSayim and can't be any more, including the Mechitza? So do we say, no, it's the well, the bar, or the be'er that is the Beis HaSayim, and you can have a little bit more because the Mechitza isn't what a person focuses on. So the Gemara says, let's bring a riot to this. Toshma says in the following price, Kama hein mikurovim. When we said the Pasi Biros are allowed to be set up around the well or around the bar, so we said you can move them in or you can move them out. If you move them in, so they can be very tightly spaced around the bar, so you need to have the rosh of rubo shapar. You need to have the extra two amos in between the well and the pasi biros. Kidei rosh of rubo shapar, enough to accommodate the head and the majority of the body of the cow, like we had discussed in great detail. The kamahein miruchokin, and how far apart can they be if you want to make it a very expansive area. So the opinion of the Tanakhama was afilu kor, afilu koraim. You can have a huge area, much more than a base of sign. You can even have a kor. A kor is 30 saw. That's 15 times as much as a base of sign. Or afilu koraim, even two kor, 60 saw. That's even much more. That's going to be 30 times as much as the base of sign. That's the opinion of Tanakhama. As long as it's enclosed by the possibly roim with appropriate pshutin, boards in between, perfectly good enclosure. That's the Tanakhama. Rav Yehuda says no. Rav Yehuda omer no. Base of sign mutter. Only allowed a base of sign. Yosem a base of sign also. But if you have more than a base of sign, then it's not allowed. So the Chachamim said to Rav Yehuda, really? I'm Rav Yehuda. But you agree that you can have more than a base of sayim when it comes to other types of enclosures, so why not over here too? Don't you agree when you have a deer? We said previously the deer was an area out in the field where they would enclose it and they'd pasture their animals there and the animals would defecate in that area and fertilize the field, and then they would move the enclosure and the animals would defecate in another area and they'd fertilize that area, etc., etc. So they would enclose this deer, which is like a corral out in the field, or a sahar, that was like a corral in your yard. Muktza was a storehouse in the backyard. Vechotza was a storage area or an area in the front yard. So all of these areas, if you enclose them, there was the limitation of a base of sign. Afilu base chameshes korim, even five kor, 150 saw. Or base aseres korim, shemutter. Or even if you had 10 korim, you had 10 times 30, 300 saws worth of field, you could enclose that shemutter. So how come Rav Yehuda is saying that there's a limit to a base of sayim when it comes to the pasi biros? So Yehuda says to them, you're wrong. Amalhem, zumachitza, when you're talking here about enclosing the deer, the saw, the muktzah, and the chotzer, they're real walls. So of course you can make it as much as you want. However, when you're dealing with the pasi biros, there's a cooler here. You just have these two right angle boards to each other. Therefore, there is a limitation of the base of sayim. So that's how Rav Yehuda substantiates or supports his shita. The Brisa continues, Rav Shimon Elazar Omer, Bar, Beis Osayim, Abeis Osayim Mutter. Rav Shimon Elazar, on the surface, is going to say something exactly like Rav Yehuda, and the Gemara is going to question that. Rav Shimon Elazar says, also Beis Osayim. You need a Beis Osayim, a Beis Osayim. In other words, you need 70 and 2/3 by 70 and 2/3, a square that comes to a total of a Beis Osayim, 5,000 square amos. And he adds, Lo Amru Laharchik, and you're allowed to go and separate out a little bit more space. So the bor here in the Pasi Biros can be a base of sayim in and of itself, and then you can add on a little extra, the amos, the two amos for the rosha and rubusha para. So clearly, Rav Shimon Elazar holds that the base sayim is looking at the bor itself and not the little bit extra. Now, Gemara says, Rav Shimon Elazar, we just said, he clearly holds that when you're looking at the enclosure, you're allowed to have the base of sign being just the bor, and then you can add on a little bit extra, since Rav Yehuda, who's arguing before him, is arguing with Shimon Elazar, Miklal, Rav Yehuda, boru pasu kama, that Rav Yehuda holds that the entire area, the bor plus the Pasi Biros, can't be more than a base sosayim. So therefore, we've asked and answered our question. And according to Rav Yehuda, the enclosure is a total of base sosayim that includes the extra space for the Pasi Biros. So the bor itself will have to be less than a base sosayim. Gemara says, no, not necessarily so. Velohi. In fact, Rav Yehuda bor below pasim koma. In fact, Rav Yehuda says that we just focus on the bor, and that has to be up to a base sosayim. And then you can have a little bit more for the mechitzos. Gemara says, if that's true, so then he's saying the same exact thing. Hainu, the Rav Shimon Elazar. Rav Shimon Elazar clearly says this. So if you're telling me Rav Yehuda also says it, then why are they arguing? You should have said Rav Yehuda and Rav Shimon Elazar, they say that you can have the base of Sayim being the bar and then a little bit extra for the mechitzos. So that doesn't make any sense. where it says, yeah, no, there is a difference between the two shittos, even though they both say that you look at the total space of Beis HaSayim on the bar, and then you can add on a little bit extra, but there's still a difference between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. What is that? Ikavinayu, Orich v'katin. They're arguing, does it have to be a square or can it be a rectangle? As Rashi explains, Orich v'katin would be Kuf al Nun. That would be like the Mishkan. So you could have a rectangle that makes 5,000 square amos, the Beis HaSayim, by having 100 by 50 enclosure around this Pasei Biros. According to the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, afilu she'enu meruba mutter. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it doesn't have to be a square. But the total dimensions can't be more than 5,000 square amos of the bor. Now, according to Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, so he says, no, it has to be a perfect square. That's why it says, beis sosayim, a beis sosayim. He says it must be 70 and 2/3 by 70 and 2/3. And that is allowed to be. And then you can add on a little bit extra for the mechitzos. And so too, Rav Yehuda says, you can have 5,000 square amos, but it doesn't have to be in a square. It could even be a rectangle. It can't be more than 50 by 100. You can't have a 5,000 by 1 amma to make the 5,000 square amos. But as long as it's not more of a rectangle than 100 by 50, or anywhere that makes it more of a square, that would be perfectly good, according to Rabbi Yehuda, where Shimon Lozer says it must be a square. So there's a slight difference between Rabbi Yehuda and Shimon Lozer, but both of them possibly could hold that you just look at the bor itself for the base of Sayim, and then you can have a little bit extra for the mechitzos. So we don't come to a resolution of this question. Then the Gemara says, "Kol Amar Shimon Lozer." Once we've made one statement of Shimon Lozer, we have another statement of Shimon Lozer in this regard. Kol Avir Shatashvisha Ladiro. Anytime you have an area that is being utilized for dira purposes, Rashi explains, afopi she'eno makura, even though there's no roof over here, in tashmisho l'diras ha'adam, if the purpose of this area that you have enclosed, even though it doesn't have a roof, is for a person to use, l'chnisa v'liyitziya, tome, to regularly use, so then, keep going. But examples of this would be a deer, v'soar, muktzah, v'chotzer. Those are those areas that we mentioned previously, different types of corrals, or your front yard, or your backyard. So then there is no limitation. As long as they're enclosed, I feel a base chamesh's korin, base seris korin, mutter. You're allowed to go carry in these areas if they're enclosed, even if they're very, very large, even if they're 5 korin, 150 saw, or a seris korin, 10 times 30, 300 saw, that's mutter. You're allowed to go carry this area, even though it doesn't have a roof, as long as it's enclosed, and this is called the tashmisho, shetashmisho ledira, that you're using it for your purposes. There's no limitation. However, Shimon Loza says, "Uchaldira shetashmisho la'avir." However, as Rashi explains, if you have even an enclosed with a roof, shimuchusa, you have this area that has a roof on top of it, shimuchusa begag, but the asuya l'shmiras avir shechutzla, but it's not made for purposes of living in this enclosed hut, for example, as we'll see. But that hut is the watchtower for the surrounding area. Kigon burginin shibasados, like these huts that they had, these burginin, which we spoke about previously, they're out in the field, and that was so the person, the security guard in that area would have an enclosed area that he could get in and out of the sun. So these burginin shibasados weren't made for dwelling in them, really. They were made for watching the field. And therefore, here there is a limitation. Even though they may have a roof on top of it, Beis HaSayim Mutter, Yosef Beis HaSayim is also here. You're only allowed to enclose an area of a field that's used for the purposes of a field and not for the purposes of living in it. So then, in this situation, the limitation is up to a Beis HaSayim. You can enclose and carry it, but more than that, you wouldn't be allowed to. Now we go on to the next Mishnah. The Mishnah begins, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Imoya Derech Shesarabim Mefas Keton, Yisalken or Litzdodim. We had this Mishnah already. We discussed this in yesterday's share, and here's the source of it. The Mishnah tells us that Yehuda holds that if you have a road that's a Rishus HaRabim that goes through your Pasei Biros, so then we said yesterday, here's the source, the Mishnah here, you have to move the road. You can't have a road going through these Pasei Biros because it's going to ruin the Mechitza of the Pasei Biros. And if you let the people, the road, go through this Pasei Biros, you have essentially nullified the ability of the Pasei Biros to function as a mechitza. And therefore, yisalkenu litzdodim. You have to move the road. You have to bypass the road that it doesn't go anymore through the Pasei Biros, but you make a detour and you go around the Pasei Biros. That's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Chacham disagree. Chacham Rim, no, ain't no tzarech. Chacham say, even a Rishus HaRabim that runs through the Pasei Biros are good mechitza, and the Rishus HaRabim can't ruin, it doesn't nullify these mechitzos. So this is a fundamental machlokus between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim as to whether a Rishus HaRabim can destroy the mechitzos or not. Gemara starts, it says, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar, the Amri Tavayu, Rabbi Yochanan and his Talmud, Rabbi Elazar, they both said the following. Kan, from our Mishnah, here, this statement that the Rabban, the Chachamim say, Eino Tzarech, no need to go and detour around the Pasi Biros. The Rishus HaRabim road can go right through the Pasi Biros. From here, you see, Kan, Hodiach HaKochel Shom Mechitzas. You see how strong a Mechitza is, that even though Rishus HaRabim runs through it, the Mechitza still functions. So the Gemara says, Kan, here, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar are saying that we show the strength of the Chacham Shita, Usvirle, that implies that both Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar agree, they paskin like this statement of the Chacham. Gemara says, not necessarily so. But we don't know about Rabbi Elazar. He may, in fact, that could be true. Kan Usvirle, but we have a riot that Rabbi Yochanan doesn't hold like this. Because Rabbi Bar Chana said in Rabbi Yochanan that Yerushalayim, we had this the other day as well, Yerushalayim, the city of Yerushalayim, if it wasn't for the fact, if it wasn't for the fact that its gates were closed at night, or we said at least had the possibility for the gates to be closed at night, then you would be chayev for carrying in Yerushalayim. It would have the status of Shusarabim because this public road that went through it, so it would ruin it for you. Now, Tosus brings down that we're talking chayev alev mishum Shusarabim. He says, what about Rav Yochanan, who holds like Rav Yehuda, who says that if you have two sides to a Rishus HaRabim, so then it's considered enclosed, like the sheet of Rav Yehuda. So, wait a second. This is within the sheet of Rav Yehuda, and Rav Yehuda holds that two walls are good enough. So why would this Rishus HaRabim ruin it? There are two good walls. So Tosus points out that it's actually mefulish in all directions. So you have a diagram of this in the Pirush Chai, that you actually have a road that's running from east to west and a road that's running from north to south, and they intersect right in the middle of the city. At that place, there are no mechitzas at all. And this is why Chayovin L'mishum Rishus HaRabim, if it wasn't for the fact that the gates could be closed, Rav Yochanan holds that this is, in fact, the Rishus HaRabim ruining the Mechitza. So the Gemara says, you're right. Ella, you must read this over here, that even though Rav Yochanan says, Kan, you see the strength, Kan, Odiach HaKochu Shom Mechitzos, that the, according to the opinion of the Chachamim, the Rishus HaRabim doesn't ruin it, nevertheless, Kan, V'lo Sirle, Rav Yochanan himself doesn't hold like this, and therefore, he's just pointing out from our Mishnah the strength of the Chachamim, but he personally holds, like Rav Yehuda, that the Rishus HaRabim does in fact ruin the Mechitzos, and by the Pasi Beros, you have to go and remove it. You have to detour it around. If it goes right through it, you're going to have a problem. Mori says, okay, great. We have our Mishnah here. The Rav Yehuda is the more machmashita that says the Rishus HaRabim is ruining the Mechitzos, and the more lenient opinion of the Chachamim that says the Rishus HaRabim doesn't ruin the Mechitzos. But elsewhere, we have the exact opposite. V'rami the Yehuda, the Yehuda, V'rami the Rabban, and the Rabban. We seem to have a contradiction between here, Rav Yehuda being the Machmir opinion, the Chum being the Mekel opinion, and the exact opposite is elsewhere. The Tanya, where is this? A brisa that we've had several times in the Masechet already, where we said, the beginning part of this brisa is telling us that if you have two houses on the opposite sides of a road, and then you have a walkway connecting the two houses above it, so we say P Tikra Yori Vesosi, the walkway is considered like it's another wall on the left and right of the walkway, and now you have enclosed the area in between the two houses, even though it's just Rishus HaRabim, enclosed on all four sides, and Rav Yehuda's opinion was you can carry in that area, no problem. And furthermore, even if you don't have the walkway, here's where we start the brisa. Yes, okay, even if you don't have the walkway in between them, but you do have the two houses on the opposite sides of Rishus HaRabim, so yes, okay, number of Yehuda, he says, Mishoy lo shnei batim, if somebody has these two houses, Mishnei tzidei Rishus HaRabim, they're on the opposite sides, all you have to do, he says, is also lo lechi mikan, the lechi mikan. Just make a lechi at each end of the houses, so you'll have one lechi on the left of the houses and one lechi on the right of the houses. The two houses are opposite each other, and now you've enclosed the area in between them with the two houses and the two lechis, and therefore you have a enclosed area. Now you don't have to do a lechi. You can make kor mikan, v'kor mikan. Either way would be fine. They're no saying. And this way, in this situation, you'd be allowed to go and carry in this area. The no saying be'emtsa. You could go and carry here to your heart's content. And along come the Chachamim, and they say, no, I'm low. Ein ma'arvim Rishus HaRabim b'kach. You can't have a Rishus HaRabim this way. The Rishus HaRabim breaks through these mechitzos. So here you have the opinion that Rav Yehuda tells us that you're allowed to go and have these mechitzos. The Rosh Hashanah Rabbim doesn't ruin it. Kasha the view of Rabbi Yehuda. Here, Rabbi Yehuda is the Makel opinion and says that it is a good mechitza. The Rosh Hashanah Rabbim doesn't ruin it. But in our Mishnah, he said the Pasi Biros, the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim ruins it. And Kasha the Rabbanan, the Rabbanan. Here, the Rabbanan, the Braisa say, oh no, the mechitzas are ruined by this Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. It breaks right through it. And yet, in our Mishnah, they said, no, the Pasi Biros, the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim doesn't ruin it. So you have a seeming stira between Rabbi Yehuda to Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim to the Chachamim. So the Gemara says, not a problem. To Rabbi Yehuda, the Rabbi Yehuda, Lokasha, the stira between Rabbi Yehuda and our Mishnah being Machmir and in the Braisa being Mekel is not a problem, because in the Braisa, Hosam, the Ikushte Mechitzos Mal Yosa, he has two real walls. He has the wall in the house on this side of the street and the house on the other side of the street. That's two real halachic walls, and that, he says, is a Rishus HaYochid Midaraisa. And the Lechi or the Koriz that the rabbis insisted on having there, well, that is not going to be bothered by a Rishus HaRabim running through it, because the real Rishus HaYochid is already there. And therefore, in that braisa, Rabbi Yehuda's Mekel. However, in our case of Pasi Biros, Hocha Lekoshte Mechitzos Mayosa, you don't have a single good mechitza. You have this kula of the Pasi Biros. And therefore, the kula of the Pasi Biros can be destroyed by the Rishus HaRabim running through it. And that's why there's no stira in him being Machmir and our Mishnah saying that the Rishus HaRabim is Salken Litzdodim. You have to push the Rishus HaRabim away from going through the Pasi Biros. It has to be going around it through a detour, because it would ruin the Pasi Biros, which is a flimsy type of a mechitza. But the real mechitza daraisa of the houses, that even Rosh Hashanah Rabbim doesn't ruin. So Yehuda, the Yehuda Lokasha. Similarly, the Rabbanan, Namli Lokasha. The rabbis, the Mekel in our Mishnah, saying that you can go right through the Pasi Biros is not a problem. Why is that? Because Hocha Ika Shem Arba Mechitzos. Because here in our Mishnah, you have four walls. You have mechitzos, the Pasi Biros, or Midaraisa, good mechitzos, as we discussed earlier in the Masechta. And therefore, a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim can't ruin a really good mechitza. However, in the case of the two houses, that's not really a good mechitza. It's the Lechi and the Korah that are going to make it into a good mechitza. Ah, awesome, Lech, Hashem, Dala mechitzos. You don't have a good mechitza there, and the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim can ruin that inadequate, subpar mechitza. So therefore, there's no stira to the Chachamim. Mor says, I'm Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yosef, I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Yitzchak bar Yosef, name of Yochanan, Eretz Yisrael, Ein Chayav Lev Mishum Rishus HaRabim. This is an astounding statement. He said that there is no status of in Eretz Yisrael of being a Rishus HaRabim. All of Eretz Yisrael is not a Rishus HaRabim Daraisa. If you'd carry anywhere in Eretz Yisrael, you would be Chayav Chattas. Mor says, what? What is he talking about? Yosef, Rav Dimi, Vekama Lolo Shmaisa. Rav Dimi said over this word from Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yosef, name of Yochanan, and he said, Amalei Abayi L'Ravdimi, after Ravdimi said this, Abayi said to him, my title, why? Why should that be the case? Turn to Yom Beis, and he says, Eleim, if you're going to tell me, Mishom Demakif Lo, Sulma Detzur, Mehachkisa, or Mehachtona Degoder Mehachkisa, if you're going to tell me, because Eretz Yisrael is really surrounded by Mechitzos. Now, the different ways to understand what this is talking about. Some say this is talking about the mountains that are on the northern side, and you have the drop off the Machtona de Goder. Rashi explains Moreid Choritz Omuk, that you have a deep drop off on the other side. So this is, according to some, at right angles to each other. So this is a real mechitza on a daraisa level that would allow all of Eretz Yisrael to be considered enclosed. Others explain, no, it's on opposite sides, and this goes according to Yehuda. It says that even on opposite sides, it's a real mechitza daraisa. So this understanding implies that Eretz Yisrael has valid mechitzos around it. Either they opposite each other or at right angles to each other. You have the Sulma de Tzur, the mountains of Tzur in the northern area, and you have this Machtono de Goder that you have on the other side or adjacent to it, you have this deep valley. So either the mountains and the valley, that they're going to form a boundary around Eretz Yisrael. That's why he said, there's no Rishus HaRabim Dorais in Eretz Yisrael. Where it says, so then, every place else in the world, why is this specific to Eretz Yisrael? Bavel, Nami, Makif, Lopras, Mehakisa, Vidiglas, Mehaibgisa. So, Bavel should also be, it's surrounded by these rivers, the Pras, the Euphrates on one side, and the Diglas, the Tigris on the other side, and these are dropping off to the depth of their river within a 4 amah distance, so therefore they're considered valid mechitzas of 10 tvachim. So therefore, you should be allowed to carry in bubble on a deraisa level also. And furthermore, the kula alma, nami makif of kyonus. the oceans of the world. They surround, the United States is surrounded by the Atlantic Ocean on the East Coast and the Pacific Ocean on the West Coast. So therefore, the United States is not a Rishus HaRabim. And Europe has the same thing, and Asia has the same thing. So therefore, why in the world would there ever be a Rishus HaRabim Daraisa? Now, this is a very good question, because Gemara is going to reject this, but the question is, why not? Why aren't these? So Tosos has an interesting idea, and Tosos says that the mechitza she'ena asuya b'dei adam, any mechitza that isn't man-made, lo chashiva mechitza kuleha, is not considered such a valid mechitza, and afilu rabbanan modu, the asu rabim mevatli mechitza. In this situation, the rabim can be mevatel the mechitza. So the Atlantic Ocean and the Pacific Ocean are mevateled from being mechitzos by the fact that we have people walking through there, the Rishus HaRabim going through there, so therefore it's mevatel those mechitzos. But theoretically, a man-made wall on one side and a man-made wall on the other side, that could theoretically be a valid mechitza. Whether this is, they have to see each other, is there any maximal distance, that's a discussion in the poskim. But this explains one of the many reasons why the United States, for example, wouldn't be considered a Rishus HaYochid. So bottom line is, that's not a good reason. So Abaya says, well, maybe this is the reason for Rav Yochanan, because Rav Yochanan made a statement and said, Eretz Yisrael is not a Rishus HaRabim. So maybe this is the reason. Dilma, Malos Umorodos comments. He's not talking about all of Eretz Yisrael. He's only talking about certain pathways. Rashi explains, Shein Chayav Maleim, on these pathways is not an Issa Daraisa to carry there. Yishon Rishus HaRabim, the Lo Nicha Drisa Didhu, the Lo Havi Rishus HaRabim. Because some of these roads are very steep. They go very high up on an incline, down on an incline, and therefore they're not easily passable. And something that's not easily passable and has this mechitza, this malus umorados, because of the steepness of the incline, that can function as a mechitza. So then, that's not considered Rishus HaRabim. That's what Rav Yochanan was talking about. When Rav Dibi came and said, over the name of Yochanan, that's what he was talking about. Dilma malus umorados kamis. Where it says, That's a Abaye's suggestion to Rav Dimi. So I'm Alei. Rav Dimi says, Taka, you're right. Karkafna. Rashi explains, Karkafna is a Bal HaGugoles. You are the man. You are the head. Klomar, Adam Choshev, you are a very, very smart person, Rav Dimi told Abaye. You're the man. Chazisi L'Reshach, I saw your head. Bei Amude, I saw your head in the base medrash, between the pillars of the base medrash. Kik Omra Rav Yochanan Lahoshmaisa, when Rav Yochanan actually made this statement. So in other words, you heard Rav Yochanan give this answer. And that's why that's the correct answer. Now, this seems to be that he's telling him, you heard Rav Yochanan say this, so why are you saying it on your own? So the answer is that no, there's no way Abaye could have heard Rav Yochanan say this. First of all, Abaye never learned the Eretz Yisrael, and he wasn't around alive at the time that Rav Yochanan lived. He was generations afterwards. So Tosus explains that Hainu, he's referring to Reshech, means Hainu Rabba. He says, oh, your head was by the base medrash of Rav Yochanan. It means your head, your Rebbe Rabba, who was a Talmud of Rav Yochanan and did learn, Tosus brings down places we can see that he did learn in Eretz Yisrael by Rav Yochanan. So your Rebbe, your head was in the base medrash. That's what he was telling him. Alternatively, he was saying that it's as if you were in the base medrash. You're so spot on. You're so correct in your statement that it's as if you had actually heard it from Rav Yochanan yourself. Okay. Gemara continues, says, it manami, we said likewise, ki also Ravin or Yochanan. When Ravin came from Eretz Yisrael, he said, name Rav Yochanan. Again, we had Tamidim Chacham went back and forth from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel and transferred over the Torah from each place to the other to have the discourse in the Divrei Torah. So Ravin said over the name Rav Yochanan, or Amar Rabbi Bo, Amar Rav Yochanan. Others had it, Bamri Law, that it was Rabbi Yavo saying the name Rav Yochanan. That he was talking about Malus or Rado Shabbat Eretz Yisrael. He was talking about these steep climbs up and down in Eretz Yisrael. Ein Chayav Malay Mishum Rishus Ram. They wouldn't be a Rishus Ram Daraisa. Why? Lefisha Einon Kedigli Midbar. Because they're not like the encampment of Klai Yisrael in the Midbar. And that is one of the rules, so to say, of a Rishus Rabim Daraisa. It has to be like the camps of the Midbar. Rashi explains, She'einon Kedigli Midbar. Eretz Chalaka, so it was smooth, flat land. She'onan Mashal, so how did it become that way? Because the Onan flattened out anything in their path. That was one of the Nisim. We're going to be thankful on Sukkot. We remind ourselves of the Anani Yakovot, so they protected us in many ways. And one of the ways they did was to make our walking very easy. They flattened out the land in front of us. So for an area to be Rishus HaRabim Daraisa, it has to be a flat land. If you have these steep inclines, so then they're not going to be Rishus Haram Daraisa. Gemara continues and says, Bimei Rachva Mi Rava, Rachva asked Rava the following shaila. Rachva's name was Talmud Chacham. Tell Hamislaket Asar Mitoch Arba. We had this many times, and he said, if you have in Rishus Harabim a mound of earth that has a incline up of going up 10 tefachim high within a span of 4 amos, so you have a mechitza essentially created by the incline up, so on the top area here, it's no longer Rishus Harabim, it would be Rishus Hayachid. But that would be if you didn't have any other qualifications. In this situation, Rachva asked Rava, what happens if you're Rabin Bokimbo? But this is in the middle of a highway. You have this incline over here, and people are traveling over this incline, through this incline, and down the other end, because it's a public highway, through this now Rishus HaYochid. Does this Rabin Bokimbo ruin this as a Rishus HaYochid? Would you be Chayavim Alev Mishum Rishus HaRabim? Or ain't Chayavim Alev Mishum Rishus HaRabim? What would be its halachic status? Does the Rishus HaRabim that runs through here, the Rabin Bokimbo, does it ruin the Tel HaMislakit from being Rishus HaYochid or not? That was Rachva's question. Now, Aliba the Rabbanon, according to the opinion of the Chachamim, in our Mishnah who say that the Pasipi Rose aren't ruined by the Rabin Bokimbo, Loti Boilo. Don't even, the question doesn't get off the ground. Because in our Mishnah, where it's nice and flat and easy for the Rabin to go through, it doesn't ruin it. So Hashta, Umahosum Denichot Tashmisha, in our Mishnah, it's very easy for the Rabin to go through this flat terrain right through the Pasipi Rose, and it doesn't ruin it. Ami Rabbanon, Lo Osu Rabin Muvatli Muchitsasa, the Rabin don't ruin it. So certainly, in our Tel HaMislakeit, Hachad, the Lo Nichot Tashmisha, it's hard to walk up this incline and then come down the incline. So Lo Koshkin, so certainly, if the Rabin don't ruin it when it's nice and flat, the Rabin certainly aren't going to ruin it when it's difficult for the Rabin to get through. So the question doesn't even get off the ground according to the Shita of the Chacham. Kiti Bailoch, where Rachva is asking his question, is in the following scenario, according to the opinion of Rav Yehuda. Kiti Bailoch, Aliva, the Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda says in our Mishnah, no, Yisalkenu Litzdadim, you can't go through because the Rab and Bokimba are going to ruin it. So did Rav Yehuda say that under all circumstances, or did he only understand it when it was easy for the Rabin to go through? Kiti Bailoch, Aliva, the Rav Yehuda. My, what's the halacha? Hasam hu denicho tashmisha. In our Mishnah, where you have the Pasi Biros, it's nice and flat, you go right through it. There, Rav Yehuda was concerned that the Rabin Bokimbo is going to ruin it. However, in our case of the Tel HaMislakeit, hocho hu delo nicho tashmisha, where it's not so easy to get through, lo asu Rabin mevatli mechitzasa. Maybe one could argue that only when it's a nice, flat, easy terrain are the Rabin going to ruin it. But in our case of the Tel HaMislakeit, where it's not such an easy terrain, so the Rabin don't ruin it. Oh, no, makes no difference. Rav Yehuda says the Rabin Bokimba, no matter what, whether it's easy to go through or hard to go through. That's the question that Rachva is asking to Rava. So the Gemara answers, Amalei, Rava says, Chayavin. No, doesn't make any difference. Rav Yehuda is across the board. Whether it's easy or hard to go through a Rishus HaRabim, the Rabin Bokimba is going to ruin the Mechitzos. Where it says, "Vafilu olulo bechavel." If it's so steep that you have to climb it up with ropes, is that true? That the rabbim have to traverse this area, even with ropes, it's so steep that it would ruin it. That's called rabbim bokimbo. So Robert says, "Yeah, I'm gonna let you in. Yeah, even if it's that steep." And afilu b'malos base maron, even on the really, really high, steep walls of base maron, Rashi explains, "Zukufim ol." They're like almost a vertical cliff. Umalik etzara, and there's a very, very short panther's way there. Umalachem azeh acharzeh. You go single file. Those shnayim yachad, it can't even fit two people together. So is that going to be? That's what we say on Rosh Hashanah, kemalos base maron, like the single file that they go through in the base maron. So even that type of a rabin bokimbo is going to ruin it. And Rava says, yeah, amalei in. Rava holds the Yehuda doesn't distinguish between how difficult it is for the rabin to go through. If the Rabbim go through, it ruins the Mechitzos. Morris says, wait a second, Esvei. It says in the following Braisa, Chotzer Shor Rabbim Nichnosen La Bezu V'yotzim Bezu. If you have a courtyard that the Rabbim go through it on one side, on one side, and they come out on the other side. So you have Rishus HaRabbim going through this courtyard. So what's the halachic status? Rishus HaRabbim L'tumma. This courtyard has the status of being Rishus HaRabim in regards to Tumah. Now, this is a huge nafkamina because we have a rule. Tumah Rishus HaRabim, Sofik Tumah Rishus HaRabim is Tahar. Sofik Tumah Rishus HaYachid is Tameh. So, when you're unsure, did you or did you not touch the Sheretz? So, it depends. If it's in a Rishus HaRabim, so then you're Tahar. If it's in Rishus HaYachid, we say Sveik or Tameh. So that's why it's important to know what's the halachic status of this chatzer. So, in regard to Tumah, we consider Rishus HaRabim. However, in regards to the Ochel Shabbos, we consider Rishus HaYochid, Rishus HaYochid LeShabbos. Now, this is the question on Rabbah. You just said the Rav Yehuda holds that no matter what, the Rabban Bokimbo is going to ruin it. So then it shouldn't still be Rishus HaYochid LeShabbos. The Gemara says, Mani, who's the author of this price? Maybe you want to tell me that the author of this price is the Rabbanon. So that's why it's not a Kasha on Rav Yehuda. No, Elaim of the Rabbanon, if you're going to tell me that the author of this price is the Rabbanon, so again, it doesn't make any sense to say it's the Rabbanon. Hashto Mahosum Denichot Hashmisha. In our Mishnah, where we have the Pasi Biros, where it's really easy for the Rabban to go through, nevertheless, Ami Rabbanon Lohos, Rabban Vat Michitzot, so the Rabban don't ruin your Pasi Biros. So if it's easy to go through, it doesn't ruin it. So certainly in the Chotzer, Hochod, the Lo Nichot Tashmishe, Lo Kol Shekein, here, where it's not so easy to go through, because Rashi explains the Rabbim over here have these narrow passageways that they have to go through in the Chotzer. The doorways to the Chotzer aren't huge doorsways. They're Ketzarim, they're narrow. And likewise, they may not even be complete doorsways. They may be Gidudin Yesh Biaskupa. They may be, it's like a remnant. They knock down part of the wall, but they left still part of the wall there. And therefore, in this situation, it's not so easy to go through. Certainly, the rabbis would not say that that's going to be, the Rabban Bokimbo is going to ruin it. If they don't say it in the case of the Pasi Biros, where it's nice and easy, they're certainly not going to say it in the Chatzah, where it's hard. So obviously, this isn't the Rabbanon's opinion. El Rav Yehuda, El Lav Rav Yehuda, this must be the opinion of Rav Yehuda. And what do you see? That it's still called Rishu Sayochid in regards to Ilcha Shabbos. And therefore, the Rabban Bokimbo doesn't ruin it. So Kasha on Rava, how can you tell me that according to Rav Yehuda, it doesn't make any difference whether it's hard or easy? The Rabban Bokimbo, here you see that if it's difficult, because it's a chotzer, it's difficult to get through, the Rabban aren't going to ruin the mechitza. Gemara says, no. In fact, this b'risa is le'olam the Rabbanon. This is going according to Shita Rabbanon. According to Rav Yehuda, it would be a Rishus HaRabim for Shabbos. It wouldn't be Rishus HaYochid, because Rabban Bokimbo. So what's the Chiddush then? As we just pointed out, if you're telling me this is the Chachamim, so of course, if it, Tashmisha is easy, it doesn't ruin it. So certainly in the case of the Chotzer, it's Tashmisha hard, it's gonna not ruin it. So why would you have to tell me Rishus HaYochid LeShabbos? Shmuel says, you're right. Lo, Yolami, this is the Rabbanon's opinion. And that's not the Chiddush about the Rishus HaYochid LeShabbos. The Chiddush was Rishus HaRabim LeTumah, it's Tricha. Lay, you needed to tell me over here, this is the Rishus HaRabim in regards to Tumah. Because I would have said, no, the Rabban Bokimbo, it stays as Rishus HaYochid. But in regards to Ilchus Tumah, it has nothing to do with how easy or hard it is to get through. It has to do with, are people there? If people are there, then it's by definition, it's a Rishus HaRabim in regards to Ilchus Tumah, and Sofek Tumah Rishus HaRabim would be Tahar. So this doesn't pose a problem to Rabba. Try again. Where it says, Toshma. We have a Mishnah in Taros that tells us, Mevoz HaMefuloshos, if you have a Mavri that is through and through, Beboros, Beshichin, Ubemoros, it sounds like, it means that you have this mavoi in the middle of a pit, in the middle of various types of cisterns in the ground, or moros, or caves in the ground. It is Rishus HaYochid LeShabbos. It is considered a Rishus HaYochid in regards to Shabbos, even though the mavoi is here, and it's open at both ends, but this is considered, because it's in the bor, in the shichin, in the moros, a Rishus HaYochid, in regards to Hilchus Shabbos. But in regards to Hilchus Tumah, Rishus HaRabim, Hilchus Tumah LeTumah. Now, what are we talking about? What is this case? Gemara says, you're thinking that this mavoi is really totally enclosed in a pit, or in a cistern, or in a cave? Beboro salka daitach? Are you really thinking that that's what the case is talking about? That's impossible. Ella, liboros. What it means is, and you can see diagrams of this in the art scroll, in footnote number 21, you have in the Perish Chai and the illustrated Gemara as well, that we're dealing here with the pit, or the bor, the shichin, or the maros, are in the mavoi. So they're part of the mavoi. So you have the mavoi going from one end to the other end. There's Rishus HaRabim at one end, there's Rishus HaRabim at the other end, and the mavoi goes through. And you also have either a bor, shichin, or ma'ara in the middle of this mavoi. And in this situation, El Laboros, it opens up into, in the middle of the mavoi, there is a pit. And in this situation, the mavoi is still having the status of Rishus HaYochid LeShabbos and Rishus HaRabim LeTumah, as we just said. Now, again, there's going to be a kasha on Rava, who's explaining that Rav Yehuda doesn't make any difference whether it's easy to traverse or not. He says the Rabban Bokimbo is going to ruin it from being a mechitza. Now, maybe you want to tell me that this is not Rav Yehuda. This brisa, this Mishnah in Taharos, is it going according to the Chachamim, but not according to Rav Yehuda? Well, it says it can't be money. And if you want to tell me this Mishnah in Taharos is the Chachamim, our Chachamim that say that the Rabban don't ruin it, so I wouldn't need the Mishnah to tell me this. Hashta, in our Mishnah, Mahosim Denicha Tashmisha, in the case of the Pasi Biros, where it's really easy to go through, it's not Rabin Bokin, but don't ruin it. So Amri Lawsu Rabin Vatile, the Rabin don't ruin it. So certainly, in this case, where you have a pit in the middle of the Mavui, Hacha, the Lonicha Tashmisha, Lo Koshika. So certainly, where it's difficult to walk through this Mavui, because you have a pit in the middle of the Mavui, so certainly, the Rabin aren't going to be Bokin, but so this can't be the opinion of the Chachamim. Where it says El Olav, Rabbi Yehuda. So this must be the opinion of Yehuda. And what do you see? That it's still called Rishus HaYochid in regards to Shabbos. So when it's difficult for the Rabbim to go through, the Rabbim don't ruin the Mechitza. Kashon, Rabbah's interpretation. Where it says the same Taras we just gave a minute ago. Lo, Leolam Rabbonim. This is also, this Mishnah Taras is also going according to the Shita of the Chachamim. I or Rishus HaRabim L'tumma, it's Rechleit. Again, the Chiddush wasn't for Shabbos. Of course, for Shabbos it's Rishus HaYochid. But the Chiddush was in regards to Tumma, that it's Rishus HaRabim. We'll try again one more time and give almost the same exact teretz. Toshma, this Mishnah Taros continues and it says, Shvile Beis Gilgul Uchayotze Behem. You have the paths of Beis Gilgul. Rashi says, this is Malegavo, this is a high area, which is kufa vertical in Eretz Yisrael. So these roads up here are like mountainous roads that are going straight up, or anything like them, Uchayotze Behem. Rishus HaYochid L'Shabbos, they have a halachic status being Rishus HaYochid in regards to Shabbos, even though the Rabbim is going there, and that's the kasha again, going to be on Rava, isn't this Rabbi Yehuda? And you see that if it's Rabbim Bokinbo, but it's a difficult path, then it retains its status of Mechitzas, so this will be the kasha on Rava, and it's Rishus HaRabbim L'Tumah, and you can guess already what the discussion in the Gemara is going to be. It's exactly like the first two that we just had. Vezu Shvilei Beis Gilgul, what are exactly these paths of the Beis Gilgul? Samri the Rav Yanai, they said in the Beis Medrash of Rav Yanai, Kol She'ena Eved Yochel Lito Saw Shel Chitin. It would be a situation where an Eved wouldn't be able to carry a saw's worth of Chitin on his back and run up then the Yoritz of Nei Sarajot and run away from the police, run away from somebody's chasing him. So that's, it's steep enough that an Eved wouldn't be able to go. I'm assuming an Eved, they're telling us here because he's a starker person and he couldn't go up such a path. That's called these Shvilei Beis Gilgul. Now, what do we see again? Money, who's the author of this Mishnah? If you want to tell me it's the Rabbanon, Elam and the Rabbanon, and the Chiddush is that the Rabbanon say this is Rishus HaYochid in regards to Shabbos because the Rabban Bokim doesn't ruin it, so I wouldn't need this. Hashdo, Mahosum Dinich Tashmisha, the same exact point that in our Mishnah with the Pasi Biros, the Rabban Bokimbo doesn't ruin it, so Ami Rabbanon Loasu Rabban Vatli Lamachitza, so certainly here, where it's a difficult path up the Shvilei Beis Gilgul, Hacha, the Lo Nich Tashmisha, it's not easy to use, certainly Lo Kol Shekein, that it's not going to ruin it. So again, this Mishnah and Taharos must be El Alav. Rabbi Yehuda, this is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. And what do you see? That the Rabban Bokinbo keeps it as a Rishus HaYochid. It doesn't ruin the Mechitzos. Kasha on Rabba's understanding. So, on my leg, Rabba says, Shvilei Beis Gilgul Kamis. You're asking me a question for the Shvilei Beis Gilgul? No, here's also a unique aspect. When Yeshua conquered Eretz Yisrael, the Zion Kibush and the Zion Chiluk, so he divided up Eretz Yisrael after he conquered it, and Yeshua, the great Yeshua, Oiv Yisrael Haya, he was a lover of Klai Yisrael, and therefore he wanted to make it as easy for people to go and traverse Eretz Yisrael. In fact, he made other takanos. We learned previously, he made 10 takanos to go and establish Eretz Yisrael, to allow colonization and yeshiva of Eretz Yisrael much more easier. In any event, this is one of the additional things that he did. On my batikilem drach musracha, he set up all these roads and these highways throughout Eretz Yisrael. And he said, Kol echo denicho tashmishto misro l'rabim. Wherever it's a nice, easy road to use, I'm giving this over to the rabbim. I'm not having to give it over to individuals. It belongs to the public. However, in any place where it's not so easy for the rabbim to go, because it's a steep hill like this, therefore, I'm giving it over to individuals. And that's the chiddush over here in this Mishnah, that these Shvilei Beis Gilgul were given over to Rishus HaYochid. A Rishus HaYochid. Everybody agrees, even Yehuda, Rabbim Bokim Ba doesn't ruin my Mechitzas in my Rishus HaYochid. In a chotzer or in a mavui, so then Rabban Bokinbo can go ruin it. In the Pasi Biros, the Rabban Bokinbo would ruin it. But if it was my personal private well, so then Rabban Bokinbo wouldn't ruin it. That's the answer that Rava gives. So the third teretz is a little bit different than the first two, but it's the same idea. In fact, Rava says, under normal circumstances, Rabban Bokinbo, according to Rav Yehuda, would ruin it. And that's why in the Pasi Biros situation, you have to be yourself kenel litzdadim. This is a good stopping point at the Mishnah. So with this, we conclude today's shiur.